parties over the last couple of weeks. Christmas parties, family gatherings, family reunions, holiday work parties, gift exchanges. Yeah. And we love that, right? But with all the celebration of the season, of the Christmas season, there's just something really special and different about Christmas Eve. Isn't it? Yeah. It's like it's a deeper form of celebration, isn't it? It's a more expectancy, more hope, anticipation, right? And I don't know about you, but I still get that little stirring in my stomach, like as a kid you get, Christmas Eve, you know, right? That excitement that's in there. You know, I had a mother that was incredibly giving. Like, this was just her personality. She just gave. She's the kind of person that if you said, oh, I really like that shirt, she'd say, oh, you want to take it home? You know, she really was just giving all the time. It was just her personality. And, you know, even though at Christmas time, it wasn't her best time because she had kind of a rough upbringing. She was in boarding school for 12 years. Well, actually, it was 10 years. She skipped 2 years of high school. So she was in boarding school. So I don't think her Christmases were all that wonderful. But she actually gets down at Christmas, or used to get down at Christmas. However, she couldn't help herself with the gift giving. Okay, so we had beautiful gifts every year, lots of gifts, and she loved giving like that. That was just one of the things she loved to do. And so I think that's why I still get this tingling in my stomach. It's like a kid. And because she did it all through up till older adult, okay? And after all, I had really good reason. I have good reason to have that, right? To have that. You see if it's... It's not going. And it's on. We tried it before. It might have to face the computer. No? Okay. Try it again. Just show you a little. Point it at Fred. Maybe it'll work. It's okay. We'll get it working. But so there were signs for me, right? The signs were, there were presents under the tree, right? And those presents were growing each couple of days. And then, of course, on Christmas Day, there were a lot of presents. So there were signs. There were also promising words, like, ooh, you're going to get something really good. Just wait and see. And I'd hold on to that, you know? It was promising words. And then there was also the historical faithfulness of my parents. I knew every year that there was going to be something good happening, you know, that we were going to get together, we were going to have family time, and that we would definitely be enjoying a lot of presents. So I had good reason to have this excitement and this tingling in my stomach, and I still do. So, you know, it makes me think about Mary and Joseph and the expectancy and the hope and the anticipation that they must have had on that original Christmas Eve. Think about it. They certainly had signs, right? They had signs. Oh, thank you. Okay, there we go. They certainly had signs. Angels. They had angels, okay? So Mary had an angel come to her, Gabriel, right, to tell her that she was highly favored and that she was going to have a son. Signs. Joseph had an angel come to him in his sleep, tell him, you know, don't worry about this thing with Mary. Don't worry. She's going to have a son. And then there was the sign of the relative, I think probably was an aunt because she was older, of Elizabeth. You know, and Elizabeth, you know, everybody thought Elizabeth is barren. She's not going to have any children. But there in her old age, suddenly she's pregnant with a baby inside. And when Mary comes to visit, you know, the baby in her womb leaps as Mary gets closer, and with baby Jesus in her womb. And then, of course, Elizabeth prophesies. So there were certainly signs. There were words of promise, or promising words, right? There were lots of promising words. Angel Gabriel, whoa. Angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, and what did he say? He said, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of David. His kingdom will never end. The Holy Spirit will come over you for this to happen. That's in Luke. Think about it. You know, we always hear these things and it's, yeah, yeah, yeah. Think about being Mary. This is being said to you, like, wow. And then Joseph, right? What Joseph heard from the same angel in his dream. What's conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Can you imagine? Is this a Messiah? And then Elizabeth saying, you know, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me? The mother of my Lord? Can you imagine Mary? It was triangulated now, right? With triangulation, you believe it. It's wow. It's a lot to take in. And then there was the history of faithfulness, of course, because you figured that Mary must have been a woman of God. Mary was highly favored by God, so she must have believed in the faithfulness of God. So, you know, she's got to have known God's going to be faithful in this word. And just in case she wasn't going to be really convinced, and of course Gabriel said at the end to her that no word from God will ever fail. So, wow. So was there expectancy and anticipation and hope in Mary and Joseph? But were they celebrating in the stable? What do you think? Were they celebrating? Let's just think, you know, Fred was talking about the empathic incarnation yesterday, right? Let's turn on our empathy for a minute on Mary. Think about Mary on that during that time period. Okay, so how many of you in here have been pregnant up to 9 months? Anybody? A few, right? 9 months. We're presuming that Mary went full term, okay? All right, so 9 months pregnancy. Anybody in here have somebody you love who went 9 months pregnant? Okay, a lot more of you, right? Okay. Do you remember what they were like at 9 months pregnant? I hear so, yeah. I have a coworker named Morgan who went out to have her first baby. And she just left a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to her on her last day there, and her feet were swollen, her face was swollen, her body was unwieldy, she was exhausted, she couldn't wait to have the baby. She couldn't wait, yeah. Okay, so Mary was 9 months pregnant, we presume, as she went full term. And then she has to travel. She's going to travel. Now, this day and age, a lot of people say, you know what, in those late stages, we don't really travel anymore, right? Just stay home. No, and so, yeah, she doesn't get onto a 747. She doesn't hop into a car, right, which would be even uncomfortable at 9 months, right? No, she is going onto a donkey, right? In that state, in that nine-month state. Okay? Oh, my gosh. And to make matters worse, they get there late, okay, probably because all that, this, she probably had to make a lot of stops. Think about that. Bladder doesn't do so well 9 months. And then when they get there, well, all the Airbnbs are taken, right? They're all booked up because they're late. Okay, so somebody was gracious to them and gave them a place to stay, which was a kind of an outdoor area, a little stable area, or maybe a cave, but kind of on the outside, right? And so now she's got the prospect of probably sleeping on the ground, maybe in some hay. And as Bob mentioned earlier, you know, we celebrate Christmas in December. Most of us know that that was probably to redeem pagan celebrations. And that it's estimated that more likely that the birth of Jesus took place somewhere between January and March. Okay? So during that period in Israel, it can get really cold. It actually can be 40 degrees at night. So remember what it was like last night? Okay, now she's out there in that. Okay? That can be tough. And, you know, this day and age, we have a waiting room full of people all excited for us, all praying for us, really, you know, kind of chattering and cheering us on. You think Mary had that? And then we usually have somebody with us right in the birthing room. Some of you have had that, yes, people right there teaching you how to breathe, right? You got to breathe. And telling you, you can do it, you can do it. You know, do you think Mary had that? I mean, she might have had an angel. Maybe somebody gracious from the inn came out there and helped her, but probably not. And then probably the fact that this predicament that she was in, the scandal that had taken place, so to speak, probably had not left her yet. It probably had followed her all the way to Bethlehem, you know, because this was not a positive thing in the eyes of many. And, you know, we don't know how cynical people might have been. Maybe they're believing the story, maybe they're not. So all this is her reality during that evening. So were they celebrating? I'm going to pull this up. I can't get it. Maybe. But, you know, many of us are like that. The conditions that we're in around Christmas time aren't always the best conditions. They're not this idyllic, perfect Christmas kind of experience that many, you know, talk about or that we imagine. And actually for me, and I won't talk about details, but I've had a lot of very intense Christmases, things that were not so good, you know. But God still really wants us to have that expectancy, that anticipation, that hope deep in our spirit, like Mary and Joseph had, that deeper sense that something great is coming. He wants us to celebrate in whatever way we can in our hearts. Because what he wants is for us to understand the manifold blessings that came to us on the night that Jesus was born. Manifold, manyfold blessings. Some of them are coming right through into your mind. I'm just going to name a few for you so you can see them. Oh, that's, you know, Fred started to talk about this a little bit yesterday. It's interesting. But identity. Identity is something that Jesus birthed when he came out. He birthed identity in us. You know, most people really struggle with identity and with purpose. Yeah? A lot of life. Most people, Christians, non-Christians alike, all. I'm an executive coach, is one of the things I do. And I can tell you that leaders of high level still struggle with identity and purpose. And we always cover that whenever I'm coaching people. And yet, Jesus came to earth to give us the blessing of it if we so choose. We're clear who we are, and we are clear what our purpose is, and we belong to him. You know, as John says in his gospel, he says, to those who believed in his name, he gave us the right to become children of God. Right? He's the Son of God. We are the children of God because we belong to him. We have identity. It was birthed in when Jesus came, if we so choose. Closeness. How about closeness? Maybe that one went through your mind as one of the blessings. You know, most of us have had at least one good bout of loneliness in our life. Yeah? Right? And it's really interesting because right now with all this accessibility, you know, we can talk to people, we can text them, you know, we can see them in our hand, you know, right in our palm of our hand when we're holding our phones. We have complete accessibility, but you know, the research is showing that people feel more isolated than ever before. Isn't that odd and ironic? But it's because we long for closeness. We long for intimacy, not just contact, right? And when Jesus came, what he came to do was to bring us a sense of oneness with him and with the Father. So we invite him into our lives, and he lives through us, through his Holy Spirit, and we can talk to him anytime. You know, we forget that. And there's a lot of people out there who believe but don't believe that they can talk to him, you know, through the Holy Spirit. And we're never alone. So we're never alone. So even if we are battling loneliness, we are never alone. Holiness. How about holiness? Anyone here try to be good? Come on, try to be good. I try to be good. Yeah. Most of us want to be good generally, you know, even though we don't always see that in others, right? We see my intentions, we see your impact, right? We don't always see our own, other people's attempts to be good. But I think most of us try to be good, you know? And, I'll say, okay, I'm not going to buy into that negative talk. I'm not going to, like, agree or pretend I agree. And then, darn it, I did it again. I'm not going to say that to Dave. Oh, no, I said it again. You know, Paul said, I do the very thing I hate, right? Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's the truth. That's who we are. But we are beautiful in God's eyes. And when we choose to be in him, who is perfect and complete and we accept him, then we ourselves have that holiness. That's one of the blessings that God wants us to celebrate. And it's required to live in the presence of God. Right? How about salvation? Salvation is a blessing that came when Jesus was born. Yes, we watched it walk out, but that was where it was birthed. When Zechariah was prophesying around the time of his son, when his son John was born, he tells us that essentially that the Lord Jesus, who John was preparing a people ready for, would save us from our enemies. You know, most of us in here can't really relate to the concept of enemies. Anybody in here in the military or were in the military? You know, barring having been in the military, we don't really get this concept of enemies. You know, we feel like I got an enemy at work or whatever. But we really don't understand enemies like that. Especially in these counties here, in, you know, Howard County, Baltimore County. I believe we have our worst enemy here on earth. And I'm not talking about Jesus. What's our worst enemy on earth? Could be. What's our worst enemy? I hear Satan, but that's our spiritual enemy. And ourselves. How about death? Death. Death is our worst enemy here. And when Jesus came, he put into motion the blessing that would overcome and rescue us from our enemy of death, giving us eternal life if we so choose. And then access. You know, as I heard the prayer you were praying, Randy, everyone has, let me get up there, everyone has access. Everyone. You know, as baby Jesus was being born, the shepherds were out there, as we saw here, were out there being visited by the angels, right? And the angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for who? All people. For all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Then a whole host of angels showed up, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. You know, as my husband always likes to remind me that Jesus was born outside in this condition that they had to endure for a reason, right? It was a sign. It was a sign because these shepherds got that word, and what did they do? They made a beeline right over there to see what had happened, right? And could they have gotten in otherwise? Probably not. And the shepherds at that time were amongst the lowest on the economic ladder, right? And so it's a sign. Everyone, from the lowest to the highest, have access now, and the blessing of access to Jesus. So there are many more, and some might be coming to your mind. What are some of the blessings? You can just call out. Is there anything that just comes to mind? Any other blessings? Family, absolutely family. Yeah, we belong now. Yeah. Hope. Yeah. Any others? Peace. Forgiveness.
Freedom to worship.
Freedom. Yeah, freedom to worship. Yes. I believe God really wants us to celebrate in our hearts, no matter what conditions we're in, an expectancy, a hope, an anticipation in our hearts for these many, 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 what he called to me, a manifold blessings of Christmas. And so, you know, if you're like me and you get to open one present, what present do you always open on Christmas Eve?
Pajamas.
Yeah, that's my kids. Every year, surprise, their pajamas. So anybody else open presents, one present on Christmas Eve? You got others? Yeah. Okay. So if you're going to open one present tonight, let it be Jesus. Let's thank him right now. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you so much for your gift to us. And we thank you for the manifold blessings that you want to shower us with, that you want us to understand the celebration that we need to have in our hearts at all times because of what you want to give. You are the greatest giver. You lavish us with what you want us to have. And we say yes, and we say thank you. And I pray everyone in here will so choose yes. Amen.